We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dan Pompey is our guy working with The Athletic and the Bleacher Report. Hall of Fame person, human Hall of Fame. He's like my mentor in how to be a nice person. And Dan, you know, it was great to see you yesterday. It was fun to sit through that. I love those kind of moments. You know, Dustin has compared this guy's life story, Matt Nagy, to a guy like a Disney movie. All we're missing is the big game at the end of it, right? But it's kind of rags to riches. It's out of nowhere. It's, you know, it's hard work too, but limited amount of time as a coach. You know, certainly a guy that, you know, the Arena League, man, from the Arena League to the Bears job, that's pretty awesome to see someone work that hard and have it pay off. What was your thoughts? What did you think as you sat through yet another coach hiring? I mean, you've been through a lot of them, Dan.
Yeah, I think he's an easy guy to root for. He's an easy guy to like. I think that's the thing that we could take away from the press conference yesterday, and you kind of understand what Ryan Pace and Ted Phillips and George McCaskey saw in him when they sat down with him over the weekend, and you understand why there was a spark and a chemistry and why they believed in him and think that he could be the guy that could take the Bears to the next step. Obviously, they are very committed to Mitch Trubisky, and this hiring, I think, is another reflection of that. My suspicion is that this coach was probably the most likely of all the candidates to really buy into Trubisky and make it work with Trubisky. And, you know, that's a very important part of everything the Bears do. It's not everything. I think Ryan Pace made it pretty clear, which I certainly believe that he was looking for a leader, and he was looking for more than a quarterback's coach or an offensive coordinator, play caller. And they believe that Matt Nagy can be all those things, as well as the person who brings along Mitch to this team.
Dan, is there an unspoken timeline from your perspective? Obviously, they didn't go there yesterday. They didn't talk about playoffs in a year or Super Bowl in 3 years or Mark Trestman, here's the parade route. It's all about the parade. But, you know, look, couple of years down the road, we're the fifth year of Ryan Pace's GM term here with the Bears. We're now on his second coach, and there's some
3 years of Trubisky.
Yeah, I mean four years of 10 losses or more, and you're now the permanent resident in the bottom of the division. There's a fatigue factor here where I don't know how long the honeymoon period lasts for the new coach.
Yeah, well said, Brian. I really believe that, you know, people are going to want to see pretty quick results here. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of rope given to Matt Nagy. I think that whoever the coach of the Bears was going to be in 2018, there were going to be some expectations on him and some pressure. And that doesn't mean that the Bears are going to be expected to be a Super Bowl contender next year. But I think there's got to be some significant improvement, and there's got to be some steps in the right direction. Because, you know, the losing has just been going on for so long, and the Bears have not been able to do anything right, it seems like, for a long period of time. So, you know, they're at a point now where the defense should be pretty good again next year. You know, they've got the running game in place, and the quarterback is expected to step up. Well, it's all about the quarterback next year. If the quarterback doesn't step up, the team is going to remain, you know, in the lower third of the NFL. If the quarterback steps up, they should be able to be a contender in the NFC North.
You know, the NFC North, interesting you bring that up. Obviously, Vic Fangio's not going to Green Bay, which is a real relief, I think, for Bear fans, because that's, you know, they want to keep him, and hopefully this means they do. But, man, if he went there, that would be a hard sell. It's going to be important that this guy gets people around him. I mean, you know, taking on the role of play caller is not an easy thing to do. And then in addition to that, and he's done it, what, six times if you count the playoff game where things went awry in the second half of that game. If you're also talking about being a head coach, which there is a lot that goes into that. So, you know, it's a real jump. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm saying there's a lot on his plate. If he had Vic Fangio there, I think everyone would feel different about it.
Yeah, when John Fox was fired, I said I would expect that the Bears would hire someone who's very different from Fox. And Matt Nagy couldn't be more different, right? He's an offensive coach. He's 39 years old. And, you know, he really doesn't have anywhere near the experience that Fox had. So that inexperience, I think, unquestionably is a factor. And so now you start to say, how do I mitigate the inexperience? And I think the best way to do it is to kind of look at the Sean McVay model, whose most important hire was Wade Phillips, a seasoned defensive coordinator and a guy who had head coaching experience. So certainly Vic Fangio would be a great step in that direction, and I would think that if I were Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, I'd be looking to hire more people with a lot of experience on my staff. And if you could get someone with head coaching experience to be an assistant, I think that would be ideal, even as, you know, on the offensive side as well. I mean, you need people who have been there and done that and know what everything's about. I mean, there's a lot that Matt Nagy doesn't know, and he's gonna have an education here in Chicago.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and look, he's a very confident guy, at least comes off that way. You obviously have an ego to get to that position, but he seems like the type of guy who would have no issue delegating to his assistants and certainly to his coordinators to do what they need to do, and you know, especially when you have Vic Fangio there, assuming he's sticking around, to just say, you know, that's your operation. That I don't need to be talking to you every day about whatever's going on there unless there's a reason to. It seems like he'd be very comfortable just specifically working with the quarterback and getting that up and running.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's probably the Andy Reid model that he's taken with him from Kansas City, because Reid has always been that way.
Right.
And, you know, Reid came from a healthy program in Green Bay where they did that. So I think, you know, he should have the blueprint anyway. And, you know, certainly he would have to trust implicitly in Vic Fangio if it were to come back. And, you know, that would be just a great step in the right direction, because you wouldn't be disrupting something you already had going that was pretty good. And, you know, all the players love the system. The system works. And, you know, you wouldn't have to start over again with new terminology, new plays, and learning, and maybe players who didn't fit. So, you know, that to me is critical. And I think the Bears need to do whatever is necessary to make sure that Vic comes back, assuming that, you know, it's a level playing field with Vic, and he doesn't just absolutely want to leave Chicago.
What when you look at the NFC North, you know, there's a lot more change going on in Green Bay than maybe people expected. You look at and I don't know that Mike McCarthy doesn't come out of that in a better shape than he was going into it. It seems like he's got even more power than he had, but it looks like the Lions are going to go with the New England thing, and it looks like the Bears are trying to build something. What's your take on the division? Where you know, the one team that doesn't have a quarterback, if you put it that way, is the best team in the division and the playoff team. But you know, it's bizarre. But where are the Bears in terms of these other teams, and how hard is it for them to get out of the cellar?
Well, I think you have to just kind of put the blinders on if you're the Bears and not worry about where the other teams are and if you could catch them, and have to try to be the best that you can be and get people who rival some of the playmakers that are on the other teams. And you have to develop those players from the young players on your team, and you have to keep adding through the draft especially. And, you know, if you could find a difference maker in free agency, you know, that's fine too. I think, you know, the Bears have to really think hard about free agency this year and how they approach it. And, you know, maybe take some lessons from last year, because they spent a lot of money that they didn't get a lot of return on.
Right.
And that's something that happens frequently, I think, in free agency, you know. I think they probably targeted some players last year that they couldn't get, and then they ended up signing players who were their second and third choices, and some of those players didn't pan out. So you have to be careful thinking you should buy yourself into contention and, you know, make yourself a really good team with second and third tier players that other teams didn't want. So, you know, if you just keep doing things the right way, building the foundation through the draft and developing your players and doing everything in a solid manner, you'll be in the right place eventually, regardless of what your opponents are doing.
What's the biggest pitfall that young coaches have to face or overcome when they take a job? And here's a guy with, I mean, not any head coaching experience and only a half dozen games calling plays, so maybe he's in a whole different category than a young coach who's at least done it somewhere before.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, Brian. I mean, certainly there's game management. There's relationships with all kinds of people, with players, with management, with your assistant coaches, with the public, with the media. You know, he's never been in a position where he's been dealing with the media before on a regular basis. The Chiefs kind of sheltered him pretty good. And other than, you know, maybe once a week availability with the local guys, he really didn't talk much to the media. So he's got, you know, there are a lot of things that are going to be first-time things for Matt Nagy that he's going to have to learn on the job. You know, I think he's obviously a bright guy. I think he seems to be a flexible guy and a guy who is open-minded. So all those things should serve him well.
Dan, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
That is Dan Pompey. You can read his stuff, The Athletic, and, of course, Bleacher Report, and follow him as we do on Twitter. He's a great follow because he sees things and retweets them, and it's a lot of really fun NFL stuff, so I would highly recommend that. A lot there, Brian, a lot to talk about, and we'll get to it next. We'll get to your calls, 312-644-6767, Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is the new Bears head coach, Matt Nagy. Is really Nagy, so we're sticking with Nagy.
And
the guy who hired him is going to call him Nagy, then we're going to stay with it. But technically, he's Nagy.
Nagy.
But you know, whatever.
But there he is, Matt Nagy, talking about each and every week, the half dozen weeks he got to do it. He learned by Thursday and Friday, he was more comfortable and certainly in a rhythm and starting to figure out the nuances of the gig. But Malcolm Gladwell says 10,000
hours.
Yeah.
Yes, you need to do a job for 10,000 hours to become an expert at it. That is the.
Here's hoping the learning curve's not that steep.
Is that Blink or
how many hours of this show have you guys done?
That's a good question, because apparently not 10,000. 312-644-6767. Let's try.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's try Don.
Help.
Don is in the southwest side. Hey, Don.
Hi, guys. I wanted to counter Dustin's pessimism a little bit. What I loved, the best thing that I thought Nagy said at that press conference was, I didn't know what kind of quarterback coach I was going to be till I did it. I didn't know what kind of offensive coordinator I was going to be until I did it. He wants to be a great coach, and I think he's got the potential, but you don't know until you get in there and you do it. And this guy's got the passion to do it, and he actually talked like a human being, and he spoke in complete sentences.
You heard
the same press conference and watched it.
I was very impressed. The most disturbing thing to me that I heard today is Kevin being completely unimpressed with the news conference because, you know, again, I think he said screamers and yellers at one point, Kevin, but I think he meant screamers and hollers. So as my podcast partner, and we will be recording another episode of the Screamers and Howlers podcast today. We actually came in over Christmas and did it, and then we didn't do one last week because of illness.
You were on your deathbed.
I was on my deathbed.
Screaming and howling.
I had the Nico disease, so that's why I'm very, very, I'm very glad and happy to be alive, to have a family. I value our friendship, everyone here, and I'm a new man coming off that. But Kevbo, it disturbed me. Because I obviously trust you, respect your opinion, to have you unimpressed by the thing. And you know what scares me when you said that is I thought to myself, and we talk about this a lot, when you see bad for so long, sometimes you don't know what good looks like. And we've seen so many news conferences where people are up there talking all sorts of smack and just saying stuff that there was no belief in. And, you know, I felt an authenticity to this guy and a likability to this guy that you know, you couldn't help but kind of fall into the spell of it. But I was there. On television, it may have come across differently.
No, I mean, because as he said, there's vanilla and chocolate. I was watching on TV live, and I came away, as you did, impressed.
Yes,
and as Don, our caller, did. And, you know, and look, I'm not dissing Kevin. Follow-up was, could you articulate a reason why you were left wanting? And, you know, again, sometimes you can't. You just get a feeling, a sense like, okay, that wasn't what
it was. No, Kevin knows what he's looking at. That's why it bothered me that you didn't care for it.
It's just it didn't. I think it was fine. It's just that the reaction afterward was so overwhelmingly
positive.
You
didn't understand why.
And you're right. Maybe it is because we've had John Fox and Mark Trestman here for the past five seasons, and it's just back to somebody competent that knows what he's doing. But I didn't get the positive, the overwhelming positiveness for me.
The bar was very low on offensive coaches, period. Coaches talking to the media with the Chicago Bears in this town. I mean, Vic was a breath of fresh air once a week because he was really great with
all
these
straight shooter.
He's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
So I believe this guy isn't quite as straight as everybody might think. He was okay. He was very different, and we're going to take a listen to some of it, or all of it maybe.
Sure.
I talked to you guys about it. Dan and Jason did a fantastic job with him.
Yeah, we'll
and I get it.
There's
also to the point of exhaustion, right? Have you ever worked a job like all day and all night, and by the time at the end you're like, you stop and you're like, I don't even remember what I did 3 hours ago. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit during that interview because I think he gets to the point of exhaustion. But
yes,
there's one specific thing that he does in there that will blow your mind when he talks about Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah,
it's not the feel good that we all think. Like,
I heard it, and we will play
it's
it.
Very
I think
interesting.
It's important
it's very
to do that. And I think, though, I think you're onto something there as well, Dustin, because they, you know, obviously he does his thing. He comes up. It was emotional for him. He was worried about keeping it together when he talked to his, you know, he told his wife he loved her and told his kids, you know, how important it was. His four little boys are sitting there. That maybe that's part of what, you know, there's a certain, you know, heartstring thing.
You like that stuff, right? That's the Disney stuff.
How do you not
it goes
like
again?
That's exactly right.
That's
right. So I think that you fell under the spell of that to a certain extent. And then afterward, he went into the hallway. And he had a minute to kind of gather himself while Pace talked. But then they had every outlet in town got 5 minutes with the guy. So you go up, he had 5 minutes with everyone. I mean, it was unbelievable. So you're talking to all of the TV stations and sitting there and being interviewed, 5 minute stretches. Then you're talking to all the newspaper outlets, all the people that are basically credentialed media. There's a lot of
the Chiefs Kingdom was there.
I don't know if the Chiefs Kingdom was there. It's always there in spirit, but there was a lot of time. And then he's doing an interview. And now what, you know, the news conference started at 1:00. I think he was on with Dan and Jason at like 4:30.
Yeah.
And then he was on the other station at like 5:00. I don't know how many of those he did. I wonder if that came into play. And you know what, Dustin? What's interesting about that? Maybe that's him at his most honest. Maybe that is maybe there is a little bit of fatigue and weakness, and they're getting more truth out of it than you would. We'll definitely play that for you and let you into it. The guys did a wonderful job with that interview.
How do you think he's going to handle the staff in terms of availability? Is he going to take the Andy Reid?
I think he's going to
once
follow
a week,
the game plan.
Yeah.
I think he's got a he's
that
got
doesn't
a,
change, right?
No, and it's interesting because I, you know, Bobby Vassilopoulos was there and I sat
Love
with
Bobby
Bob.
V.
He's the best, and he was like, God, you know, look at this guy. Look how he's handling himself, and he can handle himself. You know, and back in the old days, you get to know these guys and you get to spend time with them, and there wouldn't be. But they put walls around it, and
sure,
they want to limit the amount of information you get and all that. I'll be very curious to see what that media schedule is if you get a chance to know the guy. If
you can walk with him after practice, walk, you know, toward the building.
Sure,
or,
sure. Yeah. But I mean, you know, they do that with everyone. I'm just saying that doesn't mean the guy says anything to you. So
no.
I mean, it'll be very curious to see how that – you know, again, I'm using the word authenticity because Joe Maddon's in town. So I want to know if he's going to be repeating himself.
When's the last time the coordinators were available outside of once a week here, right?
Yeah. But
even before Lovey, was
God.
It?
You know, no, during Lovey it was.
No, before Geron?
No, I mean.
Lovey allowed his people
to talk.
Talk.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I was it once a week. You know, here's the thing. They put all these rules in. When I was doing it, I had been doing it a certain way for a long time. I remember getting called in at the paper, and you know, the editor had gotten a complaint, and he was like, "Are you calling these guys? Are you having conversations with these guys behind, you know, outside the restraints of the?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course, I'm calling them all the time. Like, that's how you do it. Yeah. Yes, I'm violating all of their rules. You should be happy about it." He just left. You know, okay,
yeah. So even my time working here, it's totally changed. Used to be able to.
It's totally different. Oh, yeah. and everything's different.
You're not allowed. You got to go through a guy just to ask a question.
I used to cover the Bulls, and you'd be, you know, you'd be walking out of the building with guys. You'd be walking up to people.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they moved into the other building, and now the parking lot's over here. And you know what I mean?
Like, and a shout out to Tim Hallam, who's been doing it forever in a pros pro, but. He'd walk into the press room and say, "What are we writing about today, boys?" I mean, that kind of familiarity,
sure.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Encouraging
it. What was the old Joe Musial line, right? The great Joe Musial.
Oh, boy, I can't repeat it.
You know, no one can repeat it, but he basically.
What do you do for a living?
What do you do for a living?
I chase blankety
blanks around the parking lot.
Yeah.
That was the job.
Yeah, that's it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it. As always, Biggs Time is next. We're going to talk to Brad Biggs. We'll bring him into the conversation. We'll get his take on what happened. And Biggsy really hit it out of the park. Had a great column today, front page of the Tribune Sports section, talking about the focus on Mitchell Trubisky and how you talk about coaching everyone, but really we know what this is about, right? So Biggsy did a wonderful job, and we'll bring him in next, and we'll go over it with him. We'll get his take on everything that happened, and we'll let you know how he feels about barbecue in Kansas City. Molly and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is Biggs Time. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to this program, and a dear, valued personal friend. And Biggsy, I thought you hit it out of the park. With your column today, really accurate stuff, great take. You know, as much as you talk about the entirety of the team and you're doing it for everything, let's be honest about it. This is, you know, Mitchell Trubisky. They are all in on Mitchell Trubisky. Ryan Pace has doubled down on Mitchell Trubisky. You got a guy that brought his notes of conversations with Mitchell Trubisky to the interview, and apparently they fell in line with the general manager's vision of the player. So, they are on. They are in lockstep when it comes to the importance of the development and the methodology, and of course, obviously, the possibility that you have with Mitchell Trubisky. Good morning, Brett.
Yeah, morning, boys. It was a big day at House Hall yesterday, and I thought Matt Nagy was impressive. I thought he was real down to earth. You know, you could connect with him. You could understand everything he was saying. I mean, it was just, here's who I am, guys.
You can see that working with players, Brad. I mean, you've been around so many
of
these guys.
No BS, no, you know, arrogance to you. No, you seem like you know what you're talking about on top of everything else.
Right, and I think it was straight talk for the fans, too. And I'll tell you what, it didn't come up yesterday, and I didn't mention it in my article, and in retrospect, perhaps I should have, but when's the last time a coach has walked in there and not given you the meatball discussion and talked about beating the Packers?
That's what Dustin wanted.
Yeah, and I said, I'm glad. I thought it was a breath of fresh air. They didn't give you that. He didn't say.
Exactly. He's not paying you lip service about, you know, some team that's been blessed with superior quarterback play for a quarter century, and it's been, you know, curb stomping the Bears. So, he was legit, and I think the message that he delivered yesterday resonated so well that you feel like the similar tone and message he's going to deliver in the locker room is going to resonate there as well. Is it going to mean victories on Sundays? Well, we've got no idea just yet, but boy, you liked what you heard and how it was delivered yesterday.
And, you know, it's interesting. We have a texter saying, I'll give him eight games and then start to form an opinion. We have another texter saying, well, he and John Gruden are starting, and Gruden's starting it for the second time and obviously won a Super Bowl, but we'll see, you know, where they are in a year. There's no timeline. They didn't talk about a timeline. But as much as
he didn't even talk about the roster.
No, right. Well, he started talking about whether running backs are okay, and then we got to the wide receivers. He kind of stopped. Here's the thing. I mean, Bears fans want this to work, and they want to be hopeful, and they want to like the guy. And for a day, I think most of us like the guy. But I think, you know, the people want results sooner than later. They're not willing to give him 3 years. They don't want to hear about it. You know, another restart on the reboot.
No, and I don't blame Bears fans for that at all. After seven consecutive seasons not reaching the playoffs, and I don't think where they're at right now is a 3 years to break through. I think they can do it sooner than that. But let's be realistic. This roster still needs some heavy lifting. You don't lose 10 games or more in four consecutive years just with bad coaching, all right? And there's, I think there is a belief by some out there that good coaching is just going to turn this thing around and all of a sudden it's a playoff contender. Though that comes from the segment of folks out there that see what they want to see. So they need to get some better players. They need to get them coached up. They need to see the quarterback develop under the new coaching. I think people are excited to get to Bourbonnais, guys. They want to see what this looks like. They want to feel the energy that's going to be present. And there's a lot of work that the Bears can do to get better between now and then. One topic that did not come up yesterday, and I don't know that it would have been fair to bring it up because I don't think he's probably in a position to give a legit answer, is, you know, what are they going to do about the injuries that have crippled this roster for the last three seasons? And there's no way Matt Nagy has a qualified answer after meeting Ryan Pace Sunday morning and then standing in front of cameras and microphones at 1 p.m. on Tuesday at Hallis Hall. You don't solve that issue in that time span, but they're going to have to do something, and they're going to have to make big moves in that area, in my opinion, to feel good about the chances of becoming a healthier football team.
The Bears don't have a Travis Kelce. That's the other good news. So you don't have to worry about him going down.
They don't have a Tyreek Hill, and some people think that Tariq Cohen could become Tyreek Hill. Well, he's not as fast, and he's a running back, and the other guy's a wide receiver.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they can't find some super creative stuff to do with Tariq Cohen and find ways to involve him more regularly in the game plan and the offense.
The Mike Patton hire in Green Bay is about the best news. I mean, Hallis Hall, there must have been a cheer. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm talking George, Ted, Ryan Pace for sure. That would be a nightmare scenario if Vic Fangio goes up there. So with that off the board, increasingly it looks like he stays. You know, Vic wants a job. I don't know how he feels about waiting for a job, but best case scenario is Fangio back and he can concern himself with that side of the ball. Worst case scenario would have been him going to Green Bay.
Right, and they felt like if they hired a head coach that wasn't Vic Fangio, that the goal would be to somehow get him to return with the new head coach to keep some continuity with some of the improvements that have been made on that side of the ball. And the hope being, again, you get to that healthier roster and maybe you really do something on defense with Vic calling the shots there this is a situation that they could have resolved sooner rather than later. I think there's a chance that they could get things done with Vic Fangio today. Some of the options that he might have had previously beginning to fill up, although you're seeing movement around the league. You know, some things that maybe weren't expected have kind of popped up on the opposite side of the ball. You just never know until you're a few weeks out from the end of the season. The Seahawks reportedly fired Daryl Bevel, the offensive
coordinator,
last night. And then, of course, movement yesterday morning in Carolina with
Mike Shula
out as the offensive coordinator of the Panthers. So there's still some shifting. The landscape's moving a little bit, but it looks like a move we could see soon would be Vic joining Matt Nagy's staff. And if that happens, guys, I think what you probably have is a handful of those defensive assistants probably return as well. And that makes the whole process for the new head coach a little bit easier in terms of filling out the staff, because that's one of the questions you're going to have about a 39-year-old who's only worked for one guy in Andy Reid and only been in the league for 8 years is, you know, how big is this guy's network? How many people does he know? How many people can he get to come work with him? So if you keep Vic, you keep a couple of those position coaches on that side of the ball.
Donatello, yep.
Yeah, you're filling, I think Jay Rogers, the defensive line coach, might be at the top of that list. But you're, making things a little bit easier and putting the coach in a situation where you've got a real experienced sounding board and a guy, and they need someone to just run the defense because Nagy's going to be calling the plays on the offense.
Right.
He's going to be the CEO.
Right.
You know, and I think the autonomy that Vic would have is certainly going to be appealing.
Well, absolutely agree, and that's the ideal. But I thought he was very guarded in the way he answered that question. When I first heard it, I'm like, oops, like maybe he doesn't necessarily want Vic Fangio sticking around.
I think there was an NFL report saying that that he was going to Green Bay to interview. I think they were all worried that would happen.
So he didn't want to misspeak?
Yeah, I don't think if you don't know the guy's coming back, I don't think you want to say how much you want him. I think you got to walk that line. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think they had to slow play it. And I think the sense I've gotten is that the Bears, you know, kind of had optimism all along that they might be able to get Vic back, but you just never know. You know, because at some point you've got to make that phone call and say, hey, Vic, really appreciated the interview. We're going to go in a different direction. And you don't know once that happens what the reaction by the other party is going to be. So, yeah, there was a lot of movement yesterday, and I think the Bears probably went from being, you know, I don't know if pessimistic's the word, but they just feeling like
it
might not happen to feeling much better about the possibility in the situation.
Big Zoo, we'll let you go. Just 20 seconds. A guy like Daryl Bevel, I mean, I'm sure he wants to be an offensive coordinator somewhere, but wouldn't you benefit from bringing in a play caller as well as having him?
I'm talking about
Nagy, you know?
Right. I think a sounding board, a guy that's worked with different, you know, people. Yeah, I mean, that makes an awful lot of sense to me. It, you know, whether it's Bevel or somebody with that level of experience, the offensive coordinator is probably going to be almost title-only guys. He'll have a lot of responsibilities, but he won't be calling the plays. But getting a guy with experience would certainly help Nagy out.
Great stuff, Brad. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great day.
Take care, Brad.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. We're going to take a quick moment, and then we will bring in David Haw, and we'll talk to the lead sports columnist of the Chicago Tribune. We'll talk to the man on the front page of the paper today who knows leadership when he saw it, and he saw it yesterday with Matt Nagy. We'll ask David for his thoughts and his takeaways. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 at the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.